Wessex LMCs, supporting you and your practice.
Welcome everybody to our Practice Manager Update webinar. My name's Michelle Lombardi, I'm one of the Directors of Primary Care at Wessex LMCs. And I'm really happy to welcome Dr. Andy Purbrick, who's one of our joint CEOs, and Dawn Chelcraft, who's our Deputy Director of Primary Care. So as we've already mentioned, we are recording this session. We don't have any slides today, so the audio podcast will be available on our website. And just for help, usually Louise hosts the PM webinars. I just wondered if people would be able to put the questions in the Q&A box and not the comment box. They'll have a couple of things to keep an eye on. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Dawn, who's going to talk a bit about the practice manager calendar. Thanks, Dawn.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Yes, so with the year end, nearly upon us, we thought it would be useful just to mention to you our PM calendar that we have on our website. This provides a list of various returns and claims that practices need to complete. And those of you obviously very experienced out there perhaps might not be so in need of this, but there are a lot of new practice managers out there, so we hope this will be helpful for them. The processes within the calendar do include links so that you can actually find hopefully some more information to each of the items that we refer to. And I'm just putting in the chat bar the link to our webpage that has that PM calendar with the national return requirements in. And that should be coming over now. There we go. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Dawn. Really appreciate you talking about that. So we've had some really positive feedback around that the PM calendar. So hopefully everybody finds it useful. Moving on to the next topic. So we're going to talk a bit about the MMR second dose for practice staff. So over the last few months, there's been lots of discussion around this and really just wanted to provide an update that we've had in relation to this. So we've had notification from Public Health that the second doses can be provided by practices for their practice staff as long as the first dose has been given by the 31st of March, so a few days left. Also just worth mentioning that you're giving these as an immediately necessary process, and that process only lasts 14 days. Therefore, if you are able to give the second dose, you will need to redo the immediately necessary process for each member of staff. It's slightly frustrating that it's slightly complicated in the fact you've got to give the first dose by the end of March, however positive that you can give the second dose if you've done so. Moving on, Andy's got his hand up. Go for it, Andy.
Yeah, it's just about MMR in general and the practicalities of it and making sure your staff are immune. Or if you're old like me, trying to work out whether you actually had the immunizations in the first place, which is proving tricky. But just having seen some of the pathways that Public Health are putting out there in the event of a measles outbreak, it does have pretty significant implications for staff continuity of working if any unimmunized staff or staff that haven't got evidence of immunity are exposed to someone with measles, because they have to be excluded from the practice. I can't remember the exact timeline, but it is a significant number of days after exposure. So I think it's in all of our interests that we try and get, especially the frontline staff, to make sure that they are either immunised or have evidence of immunity.
No, absolutely, Andy. And we've had a few questions in from practices around that. I know CQC have some guidance on their website, particularly around risk assessments, et cetera, for practice staff. So we've had a couple of comments come in from practice managers. NHSE said they would only send to those who had not had a second dose. But we've had lots who have had to be contacted again. Dawn, I wonder if that's something we could feedback through our channels with Public Health, because that's really unhelpful because they're going to continually contact practices, which is really unnecessary.
Yeah, no, that's very frustrating, Michelle. I will raise that with them. I think when they sent out the first communications on that, you know, a little while back, that happened then as well. So sadly, it doesn't seem that they've made any improvements on that. The only thing they did say, and not necessarily in this case, but worth mentioning maybe, is that they do understand that some coding within the clinical systems, that the national system doesn't pick up all the coding within clinical systems. So practices might want to have a look at how their MMR patients are coded. That's not really terribly helpful. Arguably, the national system should pick it all up, I know, but might be worth checking.
Thanks, Dawn. Did they provide the codes to practices of what they need to be? Because I think that was one of our questions, wasn't it?
Yeah, they are in the business rules, and they did give us a link, I think, to that when we mentioned it last time, if anybody needs to go in and check. So we could provide that again if anyone would like it.
Thanks, Dawn. Maybe we could pop it with the webinar, just a link to that. Another question is coming around the PPE portal closing on the 31st of March, and obviously going to need to order the FFP3 masks. I think the other question is around the test that you have to do to make sure that they fit accurately. Andy, I've seen you've just come off mic. I think you may have raised this already with one of the ICBs.
I raised it with the Director of Public Health, actually, yeah, and Dorset ICB. So, yeah, it's ludicrous, isn't it? Because we're supposed to see these individuals in full PPE with a fit tested FFP3. I was never even fit tested for COVID. So goodness knows how we're going to implement that.
Absolutely. As soon as we get a response, we'll share that with practices. Okay. So moving on to our next topic, which is our nursing newsletter. Just wanted to share that Zoe Tobin, who's our nurse advisor, has recently, I think it was last week, sent out to your nursing teams a newsletter focusing on a number of topics, MMR being one of them, the vaccine strategy. We're going to come on to shortly the flu letter and various other topics. So what we'll do is we'll pop a link into the chat so you can see the information that's been shared with your nursing teams, but just to highlight that this has been sent and shared. Moving on to flu, so the flu letter. So on the 12th of March, NHS England released the flu letter that identifies the programme for this year, or for, sorry, 24-25. Zoe had completed a survey and it's gone into our newsletter last week around some of the key messages in relation to this. It's probably also worth mentioning that we've recently become aware in the last 24 hours that the service specification has been released by NHS England. So we're just working through that, and we will no doubt provide a summary to practices on this. If I get an opportunity, I will try and pop the link in the chat to the specification so you can have a look at that. If not, we'll pop it with the podcast on our website. So just some of the key messages. So as most will be aware, there are no changes to the eligible cohort for this year, which is possibly why they've issued the enhanced service specification early, because actually when I've briefly looked at it, it doesn't look like there's any changes even in the clause numbers. So hopefully that will be straightforward. Based on the debacle that happened last year around the timings of the flu, it basically states that there's evidence from previous years that the effectiveness of flu vaccines can wane. Therefore, the full adult programme will commence from October, and the actual date will be confirmed. And also the children and pregnant women enhanced service will then start, sorry, not enhanced service, vaccination programme will start from the 1st of September. We have been informed and we are aware that pharmacies will have the same commencement dates as practices. So that is positive. When looking at the specification, interestingly, the sign-up date you need to undertake this by is by the end of June, and the start date of the enhanced service looks to be the middle of August. However, it does clearly state, it has that paragraph, that the commencement date, which is what we just talked about the October and September dates, will need to be released by NHS England. So it's really just to be aware of that. So last year, there was an inclusion for frontline healthcare workers for both clinical and non-clinical staff who have contact with patients. We believe that the same principles that were in place last year will be in place for this year coming, where you can vaccinate your staff and you'll be indemnified to do so. And you would need to give this under a written instruction. We are just working through, as I've said, the specification, and we will clarify that. But on a quick glance, it looks like it's the same as last year. So you'll be able to vaccinate your staff, but you won't be able to claim an item service fee, and you'll be indemnified to do so. There are some exemptions around the frontline workers where you will be able to claim, and these relate to social care settings, GP locums. So again, the same as last year. But as I said, we will put out a full summary for practices around that. So I think we've got some questions. Andy, I don't know if you want to come in. I know we've got some questions as well.
Yeah, just the glaring one about the item of service fee not being uplifted, which is, you know, just shocking, really. And even more shocking when you look, I think I saw something in the media that I know it's a different vaccination, but Boots are now offering COVID vaccinations at £99 a shot. And it just shows how there is a massive discrepancy in terms of how we're treated compared to other providers. And you know, soon it will become economically unviable to deliver these vaccinations. And as Pratt says, we rely massively on this vaccine income to support our general income, given that our core GMS funding is so challenged at the moment. But we continue to lobby for fair payment, as you would imagine.
Thanks, Andy. Absolutely. So I'm just going to hand over to Dawn, who's going to talk a bit about some updates from PCSE around forms.
Yes, thanks, Michelle. So again, as we've just said, year end is fast approaching, and PCSE have reminded us that midnight on Sunday, the 31st of March, is the deadline for submitting your 2022-23 end of year forms for pensions. They say, PCSE, they have a range of support to help members with completing their forms on their GP pension resource page. Any of these links, we could pop into the webinar afterwards. They also have an FAQs should you need it. And also, similarly to that, they are saying that the deadline to submit your practice is 24/25 estimate of pensionable profit of earnings is also midnight on Sunday, the 31st of March. I would just like to add on that point that whilst it's a deadline to submit your estimate of pensionable profits for 24/25, as I understand, that's so that you can have your deductions on your PCSE statement amended from April. So it's kind of a clean start to the year. Having said that, of course, there's often occasions during the year, maybe you've got a new partner joining or a partner retiring and other instances where you will need to amend your estimate of pensionable profits during the financial year. And that is still available to you. It's not that you can't do it any other time, but there is a deadline of 31st of March for 24/25 so that you start April as the year afresh. But other than that, they also have another FAQ if you want to have a look at estimates of pensionable profits, if you're not sure about that. And we can pop those links for you. If I can, I'll pop them in the chat bar now. But we can also add them to the webinar, as we sometimes do for the podcast afterwards. Thanks, Michelle.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dawn. And in keeping with the theme of PCSE, there was also in the bulletin information in relation to the stopping of checks for locum contributions or paper locum A and B forms by post. So this will be effective from the 1st of April. I think most practices and locums will probably do this all electronically, but it's really just to highlight to you that from the 1st of April, PCSE will not be accepting checks for locum contributions or the locum A and B forms by post. They did helpfully include how to make a payment to NHS England in relation to this. So all of that information is available. And there's also guidance around submitting the locum A and B forms on PCSE online, which we can pop with the webinar. And then moving on from PCSE, we wanted just to give you a bit of an update that's come in the NHS England bulletin last week that relates to enhancing the GP record updates from pharmacies. And this relates to the work around the pharmacy first and the seven clinical conditions and pathways that they're now able to see patients for, and we believe that the improvement to the functionality for the information that you receive from pharmacy consultations will be starting to be rolled out next week. So that, I think, next week as in this week. So hopefully practice will no longer have to manually input the information and it should go straight into your workflow, therefore can automatically be filed or viewed with a single click, is what they say. So it'll be interesting if practice have had any experience of this. It sounds like it's only rolling out this week. But if any practice have any issues, please do contact us and we'd be very happy to chat through and share any issues with the relevant organisations. Sorry, I've just seen a Q&A come in. So it says, if a patient has an issue with anything they read in their medical record, we pharmacy first, we send them back to their pharmacy. Okay, that's really useful to be aware. Thank you for sharing that. And then finally, on the list of our topics, This is something that came through from NHS Digital. So this is NHSE referral service. Again, I think we may have included this on a previous webinar, but we just wanted to make sure everybody was aware. So that from the 12th of April, all practice staff who access the ERS, so the electronic referral service using the legacy website, will be directed to a new page and will require them to select an option to access ERS on the new website address. So it's really just to remind everybody that there's a new one and that's how you access it. So that's all the topics that I've got on the list for the agenda. I can't see there's any more Q&As that have come in. I don't know if any of the other, whether Andy or Dawn, you've got anything else to add. I don't think we have. Andy, yeah, go for it.
I guess just an update on where we are with the contract in position. So the BMA have gone out for referendum to all their registered GPs. That referendum closed at midday today. And based on the feedback from that recommendation, then that's going to inform next steps. We've got an emergency BMA General Practitioners Committee meeting tomorrow to discuss what the plans are in terms of addressing the inadequacies of the imposed contract. So I would anticipate that there'll be a press statement out from the BMA around about lunchtime tomorrow that will inform next steps, whether that's balloting for industrial action or collective action remains to be seen.
Thanks, Andy. Yes, it will be interesting to see the outcome of that meeting tomorrow. We've had a question come in. How will the Pharmacy First notifications appear? I'm not sure of the answer to that. We probably just need to check, but it's a really good question. My apologies. We'll check that and confirm. I don't know if anybody knows on the webinar. We've had another comment come in. Okay, Pharmacy First is challenging. They require each member of staff to have individual logins and multi-factor authentication. I can't even say that word. This really slows down the referrals on reception. I think we've definitely had this feedback from other practices. The primary care version of MFA is blocked by NHS Dorset IT systems, so requires staff to use their own mobiles. We don't want staff using their own mobiles whilst working, absolutely. Thank you for raising this. So these two questions we will take away and raise with the relevant teams and come back to practices on so that you are aware of the responses. I don't think there's any other questions that have come in. So just to say thank you, everybody. Thank you, Andy and Dawn, for being on the panel today. And I hope everybody has a lovely Easter. And we have our next Practice Manager webinar on the 10th of April. We just wanted to mention the one after that. We are moving the date. So normally it would be on Wednesday, the 24th of April. We're having to move it to Friday, the 26th of April. But we will be in contact nearer the time just to confirm that. But thank you, everybody. Have a good Easter. And all take care.
Happy Easter.
Wessex LMCs, supporting you and your practice.